some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Hello, everybody. If you can believe it, I mean, you're going to laugh when I say this, but I haven't done five shows in a week in like 3 weeks. So I feel like I'm going back into full-time radio here with Peter Jude with the Creative Solution, your Creative Solutionist, on tonight's show tonight. You know, I've been taking a couple of days off on Mondays and Tuesdays. I've been begging guests. It's like, can I have a summer vacation? We'll just get you scheduled in the fall, you know, if they don't have anything like really crucial. But I love having Peter on the program. And so I said, you know, we've got to do the show. So we're going to talk about all the cool stuff going on in Peter's world in just a couple of moments. But I want to give you a roadmap of where we're going for the week so you kind of know what to expect, because we got a lot of cool stuff happening. Tonight, of course, we've got Peter, your Creative Solutionist. He's going to talk about all the cool marketing things that he's working on in the world. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we have... I'm going to screw his last name up, and I'm going to apologize so many times. And I phonetically have written it down, and I still am screwing it up. His name is Leonard Szymczak, S-Z-Y-M-C-Z-A-K. Leonard Szymczak. I met him last week at Lit Up Orange County. And, of course, everybody knows that Lit Up Orange County is where many of the authors go to read their wares in Tustin, California at Keen's Coffee. And then they get interviewed by Maddie Magdalena and take questions from the audience. And it's a good time. I was introduced to Leonard by my dear friends, Jeff and Jill, who Jeff's been on the show before. And, you know, he used to be Tarot Jeff and reading tarot card readings for folks. But Jeff and Jill have introduced me to Leonard, and we got to talking, and he says, well, I'm going to be doing this and that and the other thing. And I said, listen, I've got two spots open. I've got Tuesday, July 26th. That's tomorrow. And then one spot at the end of August. And otherwise you're into, you know, September, October, November, something like that. And he says, well, that's, you know, like 3 months too late. And I said, well, it's your pick, buddy, you know, be on Tuesday morning or in a month from now, Tuesday morning. And this Tuesday morning is going to be the spot for you. And he is an author. He's got a book I'm reading fast and furiously called Kookaburra's Last Laugh. It's about this psychologist down in Sydney, Australia, who is having kind of like a midlife crisis. I'm on page 76 of 500 right now. So I just finished like this weekend retreat thing that he went to. And it's a book about a psychologist, but it is so well written, and there's so many twists and turns, not weird twists and turns, but just it's well written, and it keeps you turning the pages, which I did not expect this. And I'm going to tell you, because I don't know if I'm going to share this on the air with Leonard tomorrow or not, but when I started reading the book, and it talks about some of this, I'm such a bad host. I'm going to call it psychobabble. I thought, I'm going to have like self-analysis and all of this kind of stuff. But as I get into it, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. I kind of get what's going on here. And I'm really starting to get into this book called Kookaburra's Last Lap. So we're going to talk to Leonard tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time. So the second I'm done with the show tonight, I'm going to be going back onto the computer and reading as much as I can into the book, because I don't want to put it down. Then everybody, tomorrow after that, the second I'm done with our interview with Leonard, you remember me telling you about the TV pilot I was on a couple of weeks ago? Not on as an on TV, but I got to go film it. And I was asked to be the quarterback of the LA Cougar football team. Well, I did my little, you know, three scenes that I got to be in. And I'm, again, just background, but I was the only one there that didn't look like a, you know, defensive lineman. So by default, I got to be the quarterback, which was good. So the producers of the show frantically reached out to me last Thursday and Friday and said, we need you back. We need you back. We need you back. We want you to be in more of the episode. And so tomorrow, as soon as I'm done with the show, I'm racing back up to LA, and I'm going to be filming more of the LA Cougars TV pilot. It's a drama, and the script is really kind of fun. And so here's what I get to do tomorrow, and I'm not really spilling any beans. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be a judge of cheerleader tryouts. You heard that right. I'm going to be judging cheerleader tryouts for the LA Cougarettes. That's my role tomorrow on the the continuation of the pilot filming. So I'm very excited about that. Wednesday morning, I'll have Mark Bego on the line. He's an author, and he does a lot. I met him earlier this year at Mary Wilson of the Supremes. I met him at her birthday party, and Mary and I were hanging out. I took a bunch of pictures. Then, it must be like a Supreme intervention, because tomorrow night at Rage in West Hollywood, we are going to be hanging out again, because I understand Mark's going to be there. We are going to be doing a CD release party for Sherry Payne. She was just on the Friday Night Dance Party 2 weeks ago promoting her brand new CD called Vintage Sherry. A lot of her songs are remixed, remastered, re-recorded, and just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful voice. So Sherry Payne's going to be back on sometime in the fall, but her CD release party is going to be this Wednesday at Rage at 7 p.m. in West Hollywood. So if you want to go and hang out, I'll have my big boy camera. We'll take a picture. You can get an autographed CD. You can get a picture with Sherry Payne and just have an all-around good time. By the way, if you've never been to Rage in West Hollywood, and I've been there like twice for events, you know, everybody knows I'm not a drinker, so it's not even, you know, that doesn't come into the equation. But I will tell you that I am a sucker for good, you know, bar food or restaurant food. They have some of the best restaurant bar food I've ever had. Shockingly good. So if you're hungry and need a snack, you can also go up there and do that. Thursday, we've got Rated LGBT Radio. And then on Friday, I may be doing a replay because my musical guest. So again, this is all the dirt that you're not going to hear on the day that the guest is here. So my musical guest is kind of a cousin of mine. His name is Dwayne Moore with a country band out of Arizona called Muggy On. And they just had a 4 or 5 song EP come out. And I talked to Dwayne probably like 4 months ago. I was back in Phoenix for my dad's birthday, and I snuck out to go see Dwayne. Well, see, Dwayne and Kelly. Kelly's really the cousin of my cousin, and I'm not related to Dwayne in any way. You'd have to get a family tree chart out and do the diagrams and the pie charts. But just, you know, it's just easier to say he's like my cousin. Anyway, kind of had a falling out. They got divorced after 25 years of marriage. And so he's on his own, and he just got married to somebody else who's, you know, makes him feel super happy. All that's great stuff. So I sent a confirming note over to Dwayne last week, and I said, Dwayne, we got you on the show on Friday. What time do you want to do it? I can do it anytime from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. You know, your call, I'm free during the day. So just tell me, and I need like 20 minutes. So, you know, he's all excited about doing this, and he goes, oh, I'm going camping instead. And I said, I need 20 minutes of your friggin' time to do the interview. And that's it. I'm going camping. So Dwayne has canceled his appearance. At least I know, you know, ahead of time, which is fine. So I'm either going to have somebody else, or I'll do a fun dance music replay show on the 29th. I don't know what's happening yet. So if you are a musical artist and you're listening tonight and you want to be on Friday, hit me up, because we can make that happen. So just wanted to share what's going on this week. If you like the show, just again, follow the program right here on the broadcast. You click the little follow button, you'll get an email or text, your choice on how you'd like to stay in contact with the show. Or you can also get the most current 300 episodes of Rated G Radio by clicking the link on the show page right here for iTunes, and you can subscribe to that. So that's all the programming stuff. So you got all the secret inside stuff. Now we're going to get to our live guest. Peter, welcome back to Rated G Radio. How are you?
Hello, Garrett.
Hello. It's so good to hear
you. I'm all right, I suppose.
Yeah, you suppose. What's going on in your world up there? You sound a little down.
Well, you know what they say.
New Hampshire's a great place for lovers this time of year.
They don't say that.
They don't. What's New Hampshire's slogan?
Oh my gosh. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Yeah, it's live free or die, agree with me or get punched in the throat. I think it's one of the two. I'm not sure which one. I'm fine, Garrett. How are you?
I'm good. It's a little warm here. You know, when I get ready to do the show, I turn the ceiling fan off and I close the doors and that type of stuff. And so it gets a little warm here. I think it's like, you know, 82 here today. What's it like back where you're
at? I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
It's hot and muggy. New Hampshire is not supposed to be like the equivalent of Saipan, weather-wise, but for some reason, 3 weeks out of the year it is.
Well, this is your fourth season. It's muggy. And, it takes 3 weeks.
Well, it's like these 3 weeks of murderous heat and humidity, or humidity without the H, if you will, if you're from the East Coast. So, yeah, it's just these 3 weeks of that. And, you know, where I am, I'm sitting in the studio, in my recording studio, and, you know, it's like it's soundproofed and it's sealed and it's shut. And I do have an air conditioner, but, you know, I don't use it when I'm recording or doing anything like this. So it's just, you know, it's the temperature starts to rise.
It's hot too. Yeah.
It's a muggy bee up in this piece. That's what my daughter says, and she's...
Now, do you guys get those weird bugs that fly around, like lightning bugs or June bugs or cicadas or crickets or anything like that up there?
We get them all. We get all that. It's funny. I've been saying, and I've been, again, this is that 3 week period where I wander around outside swiping blind, like swiping at my head. We get these things up here called deer flies. Usually we have the May flies, which show up in early June. And they're little black flies, and they just get all up in your face, and they just bite, and they get in your eyes, and they get in your ears, and they get in your nose, and they last about 2 weeks, and then they die, and they're gone. They serve no other purpose that I'm aware of. And then we have these other little monkeys called the deer flies, and the interesting thing about these, Garrett, is that, like, you know, they're like ticks. They have zero purpose on the planet, and they just hang around and buzz and bite your head, and they're relentless. They're relentless. It's crazy, and they last like 2 or 3 weeks. And right now we are in the late season for that. They shouldn't still be here, but because we've had such odd and wacky winters the last couple of years, they're here. They're still here. And it's awful. It's like you go outside. We live in the woods. We live in farm country. And if you go outside, they just swarm you. The minute you get out there, they're like, if you can shake them or lose them, you're good. But, yeah, it's heavy, heavy stuff.
Is it your charming personality that attracts them to you, do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure it's that. Sure, it's that. Now, you know what? I don't know. I mean, it's just the weirdest, like, there's these weird little bugs here in New Hampshire that I don't know if they exist everywhere, but there's this just you, they're like, they have no purpose. I understand, like, honeybees have a purpose. Wasps,
right.
Do they have a purpose?
No.
You know, fear and assassination, maybe.
Fear and assassination. Yes.
Fear and assassination. But, like, you know, ticks, deer flies, what is the deal? There's no need for it. I just Seinfelded you. I'm sorry. What is the deal?
No,
anyway.
I'm totally in agreement. Here, you know, I'm really lucky that we get some spiders, some weird-looking spiders, and I'm not one for crushing any of God's animals. I'm trying to be really good about all of that. But spiders, I'm sorry, you get squished. You know, that's just the way it is. The only other thing that we get here are grasshoppers or crickets, and they love my room, and I have no idea why. They don't occupy any other space in the house. Now, it's interesting. We get ants in the kitchen and living room area, and
sure.
It's notoriously clean in the kitchen and the living room area, so there's no explanation on why we get ants at all. My room is a pigsty by comparison. There should be ants everywhere. Not an ant in sight, but I get crickets. Now, we don't get crickets on the other side of the house, which is interesting. So they like to come into my room. And, you know, if you believe in, like, Chinese stuff, you know, crickets are a sign of good fortune and good luck and that type of thing. And I last year would have conversations with crickets, and I would feed them my peanuts. And you think, well, crickets aren't going to eat the peanuts, but they'd eat the sugar or the coating off of, like, the dry roasted peanut or the honey roasted peanut, things like that. And so I would feed them, and they were great. And I had no problems with them until they wanted to sing to me at night. It's like, if you want to sing, you need to sing during daytime hours. But if you're going to sing at night, that just won't work. Now, the interesting thing is, because of the frequency of their chirp, I can lay on my left side and I don't really hear it. But if I turn the slightest on my right ear, then I hear every cricket in a 45-mile radius. And it's just the craziest thing. So now when I find the crickets in my room, I go and capture them. I don't squish them like I used to. I just go and capture them. I said, I'm not going to hurt you, but I need to put you back outside. Please go sing to me outside. And if they want to come back in, I shoot them back out. Because I always leave my Now, if you want to come and rob me, I don't have anything worth taking, Peter, but if you want to come and rob me, I always leave my side door open so the dogs can go in and out of the house whenever they want. So, you know, there you go. And the crickets think it's carte blanche for them to come in and set up Taj Mahal, but it really is not. But that's what we've got here.
Dude, I have an absolute bug phobia, I must admit, and my wife knows this. If
Why?
It flies, if it's a bug, but, like, if it flies, like, I will throw my children just in front of it. I've pushed my wife, like, you know, down a flight of stairs because of them. I literally lose my marbles. I black out when bugs, like, get in my face or fly at me.
What happened to you as a child?
I don't know. And there are a few theories, but I'm not quite ready to delve into that. I absolutely have a bug phobia. And, you know, we have, and this is funny, you mentioned crickets. We had a, and of course, this is not a true story for those who may be listening in the legal profession. We had a bad landlord experience with some neighbors that were just horrific and not usual. You know, usually we wouldn't resort to any sort of methods of, you know, just vengeance or whatnot. Anyways, we did in this case. It was just so horrific, and we were like, well, how can we get these people? How can we leave these people a little something special to remember us by? And what we did was we filled the basement under their apartment with crickets. We filled it with then moved out. And that was like the, you will never find them. They will live forever. And every night will drive you mad.
Stephen King novel.
That's pretty badass, isn't it?
Instead of Cujo, you just have Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, crickets, man. Just crickets. Yeah. Yeah, no, I have a bug phobia. I can't do bugs flying, and like I will like shake my head and glasses will fly off. I've hit myself with my own wedding ring before, and like that's a heavy, thick piece of steel. You know, it's I'm
okay.
Not a bug guy.
So, I got a question.
You.
So, are you okay with like snakes and reptiles then?
You know, I owned 4 iguanas at one point at a misguided period of life, another misguided period. I did own 4 iguanas. They chilled me to the bone. I don't know what I was doing with them. I couldn't deal with them, handle them. Snakes, you know, they make me jump because they're so
snaky.
Yeah, they're sneaky. Yeah, they're snaky. But, like, yeah, I'm okay with them. They don't bother me super bad. Bugs freak me out.
Wow. Okay.
Completely.
I had to have like shock therapy to get over my fear of snakes. Now, I don't want to be around a snake, but it was so bad I couldn't see a picture of a snake in like a magazine or on TV or a movie. I would just lose it completely. Now it's like, okay, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. But I had to have like therapy to get over this.
I mean, there's things like that that just like, you know, it gets under your skin. I know when I was younger, I think one of the first apartments, the first apartment I ever had when I was maybe 18, moved in with friends. And I remember the first night we were there, you know, someone peeled back the rug and it was like the floor was alive and crawling underneath it. And it was cockroaches and it never got any. I cannot. That's another one of those bugs that I cannot like. I can't deal with it. When I see one, even just talking about it. Like it
creeps
makes
you
the hair on my neck stand up. I just go, oh my God.
You know what makes the hair on my neck stand up? When I hear a reading from Kathy Porter's new book that you've done.
Hello. Yeah. Well, good. You know, we've got some cool stuff going, man. And you know, Kathy's a great person to work with. She's been super supportive and super, you know, easygoing, especially when like I put one of her characters in a completely wrong dialect or, you know, so we're working on that book. You've got a prologue and something else. I think we should share one. Can we share something? Are we ready?
We totally can. I don't know which are which. I labeled them the way that you sent them over. One I have labeled as children, and the second one is sample. So we can play whichever one.
Would, Go with sample, not children first, because children's later. Prologue or sample, if you will, is I'll set it up for you. It'll be like one of those late night talk shows.
Yeah.
Where I set it. So this is the prologue of the Earth's ultimate conflict, which it's funny. I was thinking about it. I was like, aren't we experiencing Earth's ultimate conflict right this very moment with like Hillary and Stump running again?
Oh my
gosh. You know, like that's our choices. It's basically Earth's ultimate conflict right here in front of you. But anyway, the beginning of her book starts with this alien civilization where you've got, you've got the Greys. I won't get into it too far, give anything away, but the Greys, and you've got this elder who advises, and, you know, we don't really quite know too much about who they are or what their intentions are. The book opens with this sample. So I sent you a sample of that, and we can just hear it out. We'll find out more about these characters later, though.
And the reason I think this is so exciting, because number one, we've got a lot of writers and authors who are listening into the show tonight. And if you know Kathy Porter, and if you've read her books, if you know Kathy Porter, number one, you know she's totally awesome. Okay, so there's that. And then if you've read her books, you know how exciting her book, well, she's got the two books that are out right now, but you know how exciting they are and what page turners they are. And I think that this is really important to, number one, have you on, Peter, because you've done this work, to be able to share examples of what you're doing to people who could potentially say, boy, I'd like to do something like that. I should hire someone like Peter at Your Creative Solutionist to, you know, do my audiobook for my book. So playing these clips tonight, it's like super, super cool. So here's the sample.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, that's you know, you're extremely talented. This is why I want you to be my BFF forever. So here's this little sample. We'll be back in about a minute 18. Get ready, folks.
Prologue. The near future, planet Newer. Elders Council Chambers. What we predicted over a century ago is now taking place on Earth. Explained the High Council member. Seismic activity has risen sharply in the last year. Humans are fearful of what their scientists call the greenhouse effect. They believe it is causing dramatic atmospheric disturbances. Humans are getting ill. The elder took a long, thoughtful pause. Our plans are right on schedule. Is the transport ready? Yes, my elder. Then it is time to begin.
And that is our first sample of the evening from Kathy's Porter. Kathy, I'm so verklempt. I can't even say the words now. Kathy Porter's new book, and Peter Jude, of course, has done the audiobook version of that. Can I tell you what I really like about how you're doing this is that in previous books on tape that I've heard, maybe I just am not, I'm too much of a virgin for books on tape to really make any type of an educated statement. So you can correct me, Peter. But what I like about what you're doing with this particular genre is that you have, you know, the different dialects, and you have like the little, you know, sound effects, and you've got other things that help take us on this journey, much like, you know, War of the Worlds back, you know, back in the day with Orson Welles. And I get that type of a sense of this, where you are getting a real entertainment for your book on tape value, not just like somebody going, and then they did this. So,
right.
You know, thank you for keeping us entertained and wanting to listen.
No, that's cool, man. I mean, it's. I'll tell you what, it's an interesting thing to Kathy, and for anybody else that's listening. I mean, I would say, you know, Kathy is so far in my experience unique in the sense that she is so open and willing to allow me my interpretation of her work. And that said, within an extent, we, you know, her and I have had multiple back and forths about how the Greys would sound or how the Greys might come across. And what you just heard was not my initial pass at it.
And, you know, these things take time, and it's a shared collaboration. You know, there's no reason why you can't bring these stories to life. I think the purists of people that are, if there are such a thing, which I believe there are, and I'll tell you why I believe that in a moment, you know, the purists of audio books or narratives, they don't want to hear any sound effects. They just want the pure, straight-up story as it was written, typos and all. They won't accept anything else, and, you know, they have a real issue, or at least their opinion is really that it takes me out of the place that I'm in. And I get that in some sense. I think in some places it's probably true, but I don't think there's any reason why you can't have a little fun and why you can't take a little theater of the mind back into this genre. And it's funny, the other day a friend of mine who I was unaware was doing audiobooks, released a thing, and I was listening to it, and it occurred to me, I was like, oh, I looked at his link, and it led me to the Audible site, and I was looking up. I made the mistake, Garrett, of looking myself up and reading some
And what'd you find?
I was called the worst narrator ever by one person, who I've later come to find out was a total D-bag anyways.
Of course.
And then somebody else called me wooden, and I was like, that's not fucking true. I'm not wooden. How are you talking about, Jack Wagon? And then somebody was irate that a British author hired an American.
Oh, my goodness.
Did his British written words.
Oh.
Because, you know, there's a difference. But they were irate, and I was reading the reviews, and I got a little furious, and I was like, dude, just stop. Stop. Don't read, you know, you've heard this. Don't read your own reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It was hysterical. I laughed so hard. Somebody just was like, he's wooden. He sucks. He's the worst. He's American. And I was like, oh, my God. Okay.
Well, so clearly they didn't get enough hugs as children. So, you know, we can only say a prayer for them. Oh, my God.
You know
God.
What, man? This is a learning process for everybody.
And
I'll be honest. You know, the very first book I did sucked. Sucked at it. I tried to do every character in the book. There must have been 111 of them. And by, you know, chapter 5, I didn't know what the hell I was doing anymore. So, you know, it's a learning process. And you know, for anybody, I mean, any author who's done more than one book can probably go back and look at the first book and go, ew.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well,
it's like with
back.
Anything. You get better with everything you do.
With music, you know this. You know, you've probably put singles out and songs out that you've gone back, you know, a few years later, you go back and you go, I would never have made that choice today. But you move on.
You move on.
It's a learning.
But so let me ask you this. Do you, because I'll ask writers this and I'll ask, you know, singers this sometimes, especially, you know, when they're in the recording studio, as a voiceover artist, and if I'm miscategorizing you, please correct me, but as a voiceover talent, voice of God, voice of whatever it is that you're doing, do you ever find yourself nitpicking? You're like, oh, you know, should I really do this or should I do that? And, you know, just really overthinking what you're doing, or do you ever get to a point and go like, that's pretty amazing. I'm really happy with how this is. Wouldn't change a thing.
No, because I'm wooden, apparently, and American. So why would I second
guess that? You're a wooden
that?
American.
I'm a wooden American voiceover artist. Please get that straight. I'm going to have new business cards made. And just
I think
like,
that
wooden
would be
voiceover
good.
Artist who
and
sucks.
It just looks very, very starchy and very, you know, very, yeah, very wooden.
Yeah.
That is the
I'm just gonna start signing credit card receipts with Aspen and things like that. I do find myself obviously, you know, as I go back now through the narrative and as we go through Kathy's book, Kathy and I are working on sort of chunks of chapters where it's all read and it's all there and it's edited, like roughly edited, and you know, she's listening to it to make sure, A, that any character voices that I did are kind of what she wants them to be, you know, in a sense, without being, you know, overly, she's great about not being overly, you know, critical about that, because it's my interpretation of her story, and she's given me enough space to sort of work. I mean, you brought me into this project, I mean, you know, to be me, so, and she allows that. So we're going through this process of just chunks of chapters that I'm producing and cleaning up, and she's listening to, and, you know, I mean, she catches, you know, there's anything from, like, there's an entire paragraph missing, and I go, whoop, where'd that go? To, you know, just yeah. Like, we'll find typos or edits of hers that I, in my brain as I read, didn't fix or didn't naturally come upon, it didn't come out right, and she wants to fix. And she'll fix her manuscript, and I'll go back and fix the voiceover so that, you know, so that we don't upset any British people.
Yeah, well, maybe that should be the new goal, upset as many British people as possible.
Right, I know. I could do the whole thing in a really terrible British accent, shirtless also.
Shirtless.
Which sure there'd be people would be up in arms about. But yeah, no, it's an interesting, as far as a voiceover artist, as far as doing it, I definitely look back. There are chapters I go through and go, look, you know, Garrett, if I could sit down and redo this whole book, like, I'm going to read the whole damn thing again. I could find myself in a space of doing that, but we'd never get it done.
It'd never
because
be done,
you grow
right.
As an artist and as a person every day or every year, you grow a little bit more and you learn a little bit more about yourself and your capabilities. At this point, I'm thrilled with what we're doing. And for me, you know, like I just listened to that sample and it's fun for me to listen to it separate of myself and separate from me pressing play. Or being able to stop it when I want. That's the only experience I have with it right now. And frankly, you know what? At the end of the day, I think this is going to be – her book is fantastic. The books she's writing are really cool.
They're great.
They're really great. And what we're doing to it is unique. And again, there are going to be people that hate it because they hate anything that's too – much for them, and I get it, that's fine, but I think there's going to be a whole echelon. This is called, and I'm discovering there's a movement of people calling it theatrical production or fully produced audio novels, I guess is the technical term.
Is this a rare event then to have a fully produced technical audiobook, or is this are you kind of leading the trend here? Because
I've heard Stephen King's novels done this way, and they do them with a full cast of people, but we're not talking about Stephen King, you know,
budget. Yeah. Right.
And if we were, we'd be doing something completely different. It's interesting. It's such a great way to do this, but this is a, you know, I don't know. I know there are other books that people produce or add things to. I just happen to, whenever someone asks me, like, what's your ultimate job? I love what I do as far as in the branding world and marketing and advertising. And, you know, I love storytelling. But that's the key. When I say I love storytelling and doing this, like, you give me one Tom, Brown. You give me a Stephen King novel. Dude, oh, yeah, no, I mean, I would do this all day. I love this stuff. I love doing Kathy's books. And, you know, I'm like, Kathy, I want to do all 8 of your books as long as, you know, everyone call me a wooden American. And she'll still have me. But like I love doing it. It's so much fun. If I could sit and in my studio and just read compelling books, interesting books, and then just produce them, I'd be happy. I love doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think that I don't mean to sit here and fawn all over you. Cause again, I'm your West Coast fan club president. So everybody knows that, but and if you didn't get the memo, it's coming. I sent it through snail mail on the Telegraph. But I think for me, the listening experience is so rare to hear anything that actually has anything else added, that hearing these clips is just a real treat. So I'm hopeful that it will be something that more authors, especially independent authors, you know, people who are not signed to Stephen King types of contracts, will consider doing for their books, because I think it really adds a flavor to it. Now, again, there's a time and place for all the types of things that you're doing for Kathy's book that would be completely inappropriate for something else. But, you know, there may be other things that you would do along the way. And I think that that's, you know, that's why we have you on here, is to talk about this. So if people are interested, they can contact you and see what kind of magic you can make.
Oh,
is it time? Should we play the other clip now, or do we want to talk about? Okay. So do you want to set up this next?
It's like, it's a further on chapter, not to give anything away. It's one of the main characters who has found herself in the, if you will, custody of the Greys, which is this, you know, ancient alien civilization who have come to Earth to, you know, quote, save people, or save as many as they can. And they've got, you know, their, quote, reasons for doing so. And she is discovering things about these beings and the experiences she's had with them, which basically what she's discovering is that she's been having these experiences all her life, and that she has got children, hybrid via these creatures, these civilization. She's not thrilled. But anyways, it goes somewhere. There's also not a cellmate, but like there's a woman there and a human who is there to sort of assist her in her transition, if you will, transformation phase. And she's as crazy as the day is long. So go ahead and play the clip, and we'll see where they're at, and maybe I can clear it up afterwards.
There we go, everybody. Here is the next clip from Peter's reading of Earth's Ultimate Conflict.
Ellen remembered that they transported her to the same ship each time. She would see the children, who thankfully always remembered her. They were usually very shy at first, but soon they warmed up to their human mother. She enjoyed cuddling with them and reading from books that were provided. The children loved to hear her voice. The grotesque alien creatures never spoke, using only telepathy to train their young charges not to use their voices. The creatures were always disturbed when the children verbalized their desire to hear comforting words. "Where are my children?" Ellen demanded. "They are on our ship, and they will come visit you. First, you must complete your transformation. It will only take a few more hours. Then you may go to and from the ship as you wish. Now, you must rest and replenish yourself. There is plenty of water for you. Amanda will take you to get some nourishment." With that, they turned to leave. Ellen, still trying to compose herself, attempted to shrink away when they turned back to her. "Ellen, be at peace. Your memories will become clear soon. You will remember many happy times with your children on our ship." They left as silently as they had arrived. Ellen's emotional stamina crumbled tearfully. Amanda sat on the bed beside her, soothingly rubbing her back, soaked with perspiration and tears. Ellen's sobs slowly subsided. Amanda gave her more water.
"Why am I so thirsty?" "Don't worry, Ellen. Your thirst will go away after you've completed your transformation."
Her smile broadened.
"I've met your children. They are excited you're here."
Realizing this conversation was taking place in her mind, Ellen looked at Amanda with a mixture of fear and amazement. Was she now telepathic? Amanda was smiling at her.
"Isn't it great? Can you believe we're telepathic? It's part of our transformation."
Ooh. Peter, that's kind of exciting.
"Isn't it great, Garrett? Amanda's so crazy."
How do you come up with accents? Are accents easy for you as a voiceover talent?
I love doing it. I'm just kind of a big clown, and I have little fear. I'm not embarrassed about that. When people are like, "Do something funny," I'm like, "I don't know, shut up, pay me."
But like, I don't have any fear with that. And so I enjoy doing it. And, you know, the accents or the, you know, it's interesting. In her book, when I first saw Kathy's book, she was looking for, she had mainly most, and it's mostly female characters. And I actually took a pass on it the first time or two I looked at it. And I was like, oh God, I really want to do this book. But like, you know what? No matter what I do, I'm not going to be able to do female characters. But then it came back across my desk again. And, you know, I had the opportunity to chat with her. And she was like, I don't care. I mean, like, I just want you to do you and just differentiate. So we found, you know, I just kind of looked for ways, Garrett, to just differentiate the, you know, instead of trying to be a female, hello, everyone, you know, just to differentiate the characters a little bit. So anybody that's listening might go, you know, if you're expecting to hear a Robin Williams styled, hallway of multiple personalities, you're not going to hear that. Mm-hmm. What we did was choose particular characters that were of note, that were obvious, that had their own flavor, and we gave them voice. I think we spoke about this the last time. There's a character in the series. Her name is Barbara Unger. She's the president of the United States. And her name's Barbara. She's a woman. I interpreted Barbara with a very, what's her name? Helen Hunter. I interpreted her as sort of a Clarice Starling, sort of Jodie Foster kind of southern voice. And I gave her that drawl all through the G-damn book. And come to find out at the end of the book, you know, Kathy was like, ooh, I hate to tell you this. She's from the Northeast. She's from Boston. I was like, fuck. Ah, damn it. Are you sure you don't want to rewrite that part? She's
right.
Well, it makes sense. Book three. And I'm like, ah, okay, let's go back and fix it. And she was like, well, you know, and I'm like, no. It's your situation.
Right.
It's your book. So I'll go back. Let me work that out. And, you know, we went back and we kind of made her a little bit more of a Boston, you know, almost without trying to make a joke out of like a Kennedy accent, but gave her a very strong, heavy accent. And she's a strong, independent woman who's been divorced, and she's not going to take any shit from these aliens, not on her watch. So, you know, I had a little bit of fun doing that, you know. Whereas my wife is outside the room going, what are you doing?
Yeah. You've lost your mind.
Our nanny called her parents, was like, I think I need you to pick us. I need you to pick me up. Something weird is going on here. Something wrong with the husband. I don't know. There's something wrong with him. I'd come out and be like, oh, how are you? How are my children? Are you making mac and cheese? Wonderful, I'll have a bowl.
Yeah. Get some chowder.
A bowl of chowder. Yeah. No,
it's
a lot of fun to do. I think for anybody that's looking for a book to, if you want to make something, if you want to go a little bit beyond the bounds of just an audio book, you know, it can be fun. It should be interesting. It doesn't mean everybody's has to be. It doesn't mean, you know, I'm trying not to overproduce her book, but at the same time, there's a lot of interesting spaces and places for it to happen. So for me, when, you know, the narrative is describing, Aaron and Matt get into the car and slam the doors and peel down the road, that's happening. I'm making that happen so that it's there. And I'm trying my best in what we have today, knowing that a lot of people, you know, if you're listening with earphones or you're listening in your car, trying to make sure that, like, as that car drives away, it may drive away from the left speaker to the right speaker, and you'll notice that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool.
So authentic.
And for the aliens. Yeah, I mean, for the alien, you know, any kind of alien, there's so many different civilizations and, you know, things going on. You know, we're trying to give them each their own flavor and tone and attitude, and to bring that to life so that as you're listening to it, you know, you can kind of start to picture it in your own mind a little bit quicker, a little bit easier, you know. And I think that it's almost like making a movie out of Kathy's novel. It's like making a movie out of Earth's ultimate conflict. Only when I do it, I close my eyes and I try and do everything else without looking.
Mm-hmm. I love that. How do you make movies for other companies when you want to do commercial work? Let's say a nice 60-second commercial spot.
You know, for me, everything's always been a visual, Garrett. I'm a big visual. I'm a visual guy. I've worked a lot in radio, oddly enough, but like my success in that theater of the mind world has always come, I think, because I'm part of that generation that grew up when MTV came out and everything suddenly went from being an audio moment to a visual moment. But yet I was groomed in an audio world. So to me, I've always thought like outside those boxes and said, well, yeah, you know, you want to do a commercial for, I was working for a company recently that did, they're called InsureCom. It's INS, URCOMM, and they are a remediation and restoration service. So if your house burns down, or if you've got water damage or mold or storm damage, they come in and they fix it. And you know, they brought me on. They brought me in to do some commercial campaign work for them. And you know, the thing was, I said to them was that, you know, everybody you're talking to, everyone that's coming at you, everything that you're thinking of, is the same as every other business that does what you do. It's going to be the same spot. You're going to talk about this and that and the other thing. And I told them, I said, let's stop for a minute and look at who you are. What is it that you do? Let's take it from a different angle. Let's get a little serious, but let's not be too serious. Let's have a little cheekiness to it. Because, you know, frankly, the only time anybody ever needs that business
is when something bad.
Toilet. You know, you're screwed. And that's when you need, so you don't have anything, literally you have nothing to sell. So what you have to come across as is being there when they need you. So I gave them the tagline of, we hope you never need us, but when you do, we'll be there.
There you go.
So, you know what I mean? It was going from that angle. And we gave them a very serious commercial that was that sort of, almost like that Allstate or a Morgan Freeman style, you know, it was all about getting back to normal. You know, restoration and rebuilding is not about, you know, reconstructing a room or a house or a staircase. It's about reconstructing normal. It's about getting your life back. It's about your kids sleeping in their own bed tonight. And that's what we do. So if you never need us, great. But when you do, give us a ring. And that was really cool for them, you know, because nobody else is doing it. So I like to think outside the box. We were talking earlier, and I'm sorry, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. We were talking about the water parks and theme park thing.
Well, before we do that, can I ask you, because this will also go into the water park, theme park thing, because we're going to play another spot here. When you go in to do these, are you going in as just talent, come in and read the script and do this, or are they coming in to say, Peter, we need your help, come up with a campaign for us and help us not be the other competition?
Yeah, fair question. I do, you know, I'm called to do like, oh, can you come in and read this thing? And I'm like, yeah, sure. But what I do as your creative solutionist, I work with businesses, I work with brands, and I work with, you know, organizations to say, you know, let me help you create the campaign that you've never had. Let me help you create from soup to nuts. Let me help you write it. We're going to write it. We're going to design it. We're going to make it. We're going to hire. We're going to cast. We're going to put it together. We're going to deliver it to you, because you as a business owner have your own things to do. And there's so much noise out there, Garrett, in the media world for advertising and marketing. There's so much noise that, you know, you can get blindsided, you can get taken. So I try to do I use my skills, the experience I have. My time at Disney was invaluable, I don't think, you know, when somebody says, well, I can get that for this amount of money instead of that, and I go, great, but you know
good
what? I have this experience with me, and I'm going to apply it to the need you have. And to me, that's like, you know, that's a value you can't – we don't put a money value on that. That's just something – that's me giving you something unique and special.
That's your umami factor.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, I've always said to people, if you want – Mom 1 and Mom 2 talking about what we're going to do this weekend with the kids. Oh, gosh, Jane, I don't know. It's so busy. I do so many things. I know, Mary. I mean, if you want that, I can make you that pile. But, like, do you really want that? Because the commercial before yours is probably that. The commercial after yours is probably that. Why not do something different? And that's the approach I always take with people is say, you know, why not let's cast deep and reel back in. Because there is that comfort zone for a lot of my clients that may not be used to that style.
Mm-hmm.
They may have worked with agencies or marketing companies before who have said yes to everything that the client says. I'm not here to tell a client they're wrong at all. It's my style, though, to say, yes, I hear you. I listen to you. But now let me show you, if we cast deep, we may catch a bigger fish. And if it's not something that we're comfortable with, it's easy to reel it back in to a place that is comfortable. But I can't cast shallow and reel out. It's impossible.
You got nowhere to go.
The line gets – it's a mess.
Yeah.
I like fish, so there's my
analogy. Let's talk about this brand-new promo that you have for New Hampshire Fun, and then we're going to play that for everybody.
You know what? These guys are in competition with multiple other locations and attractions. This was a client that I sought out because I read an article that was like, such and such water park went under because they poorly managed their business, la, 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 la. And I said, you know what? I found out that this guy bought the business, bought it and wanted to redo it, keep it as what it was, but make it better, make it real. And I thought, gosh, with my background, I know all about attractions and that sort of a thing. Let me help. And it was a little bit of a long road, but when we came down to it, and they said, we want to do some marketing, we want to do some advertising, I said, well, you know, this is what we've done before, as they showed me. And I said, yeah, you know, every other place in New England, frankly, around the country, they all do the same commercial. They all have a similar jingle, and they all do the same standard commercial with, you know, kids jumping in the pool and laughing and singing some terrible jingle. I said, let's do something different. Let's attract attention in a different manner. So what we did was come up with this sort of Game of Thrones theme to attract the ear, to draw upon something relevant. And frankly, Garrett, the very first thing the client and the agency said to me was, we're a water park. We attract families and kids. Game of Thrones is not something that kids know anything about.
What?
And well, I was like, first of all, wrong. But second of all, the commercials we're making are going to be geared towards people in their 20s, 30s, 40s,
and that's
people
your Game of
with
Thrones.
Kids of the age that go to the park. What do you think these people are doing with their spare time after the kids go to bed? They're obsessed with this show, and the truth is I had never watched it before in my life. I was curious. I said, what in the world is this damn show about? Why is this weirdo, crazy town show, like, I don't know. I was like, what? Why is this so popular? And I'm hooked, by the way, side note, absolutely hooked. Before before we hopped on the phone for this, Garrett, I am midway through season 6. I'm watching it on, like, on demand. So I'm just banging it out before season 7 starts, and I'm obsessed. But
we've got to play the commercial. We're going to run out of time because we've got, like, 5 minutes left. So everybody, this is a commercial Peter ran, and we'll be back right after this. Hang tight.
The Granite State is home to 3 powerful kingdoms, each believing the throne of family fun to be their destiny. Ruled by dragons, each kingdom...
Yeah, sorry.
No dragons.
You're sure?
Yeah.
positive. This summer, three exciting adventurous destinations are vying for the family fun crown. Whale's Tale, Alpine Adventures, and the new Candia Springs Adventure Park. Spend the day at Whale's Tale, New England's favorite water park, surrounded by the spectacular White Mountains, or over 300 acres of thrills at Alpine Adventures, New England's largest and most award-winning zipline and off-road adventure destination. But if you want to experience ziplines, water park fun, and an epic new aerial challenge all in one location, check out the brand new Candia Springs Adventure Park, just 10 minutes from Manchester, and a totally unique family adventure. Visit nh-fun.com. That's nh-fun.com.
Summer is upon us. Fun is coming.
Seriously?
To experience it all, visit nh-fun.com.
How much fun is that?
I had so much fun. I mean, you know what, dude? They still got their pound of flesh. They still got their laundry list in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You could hear great that job. Moment when I switched. Having fun with Game of Thrones, summoners, you know, so winter is coming, fun, blah, blah, dragons. And then it turned into this, you know, super douchey commercial with things and voices and stuff. But, like, you know, why? What was beautiful about this for these guys was that they got it, and their agency got it. And they said, you know what? Oh, my gosh, how much fun is that? It's going to get people's attention.
Right.
We're going to crawl into their ear, and then we're going to blurt out all this goo, and then we're going to crawl back out with something they're going to laugh at, you know? And no. The debate was ending that commercial, Garrett, with, you know, summer is upon us. Fun is coming. And they were like,
I was like, when you say that.
I was like, that's the linchpin, man. It's got to be there. It's got to stay. It has to be there. You cannot remove it. What the hell do you want me to do? Repeat the website 10 more times? Come on.
Come on.
The idea with, right, is saying, got your attention. It's something you remember. It's something you'll chuckle
right.
about. So yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
And that's all, you know,
it's
and that's
good
what bringing.
Ad.
Yeah, that's what bringing creative, I think, is about. It's being able to sort of, appease, you know, you have to appease the check writers because
right.
otherwise, you know, there's no deal, they're not paying and they won't do it. But they've got to be able to understand why it's worth their time and money to be interesting and memorable. Now, every other one of these water parks or event theme attractions around here is, you know, what they're doing? They're doing just the middle piece. We're just
right.
the voices talking about the fun and the summer fun. And it's just douchey. And, you know, so that's the difference. So
that's the difference.
Yeah.
So we've got 2 minutes
that.
Left.
Yeah.
We only have 2 minutes. See, this is here's my problem with you, Peter. I love having you on the show so much. We could do an 8-hour show and I would still run out of time with you, but we've only got an hour tonight. So
talk to that.
We've got 2 minutes left. So what else is new and exciting in your world? What's happening? What do we need to know about? And how do people get connected to you if they want to spend a lot of money and, you know, do fun things
for
with
little
you?
Money.
Or for little
I am,
money.
Easily on Facebook. At Peter Jude on Facebook. I'm easily findable at yourcreativesolutionist.com, and that sounds like hypnotist, but it's solutionist. I'm in the middle of changing the website. The website sucks right now, and that's just life. Sometimes you grow out of things and you move on. I'm just working it out. And then I've got a new brand new project called 2020brandimage.com, which we cater exclusively to the hospitality, private and public membership clubs, golf clubs, yacht clubs, city clubs, and the restaurant industry. So we're helping them build up their image, whereas the people that run those kind of businesses don't really have time to do that. And that's the new thing for me. That's what I'm doing. I'm super excited about it. That's 2020brandimage.com. And then there's my thing, yourcreativesolutionist.com. So we're just trying to make it happen. My girls and mom, my wife are up in New Hampshire. I mean, up in Maine. And I'm going to join them in 2 days. And I'm super excited about that. So I love you guys. Can't wait to see you. And that's it, man.
Right on, Peter. It's always a pleasure. I mean, I could do the show 5 nights a week with you, and after a while, you would probably start getting tired of me. But we need to have you back, and we'll, you know, get caught up on what's going on. We'll probably like the fall, like October, November, something like that. So
let's
put
do
that
it.
Up
let's do
your.
It. By then, the book
okay.
will be done.
There
We're
we go. We'll have you back
book.
On with Kathy. We'll make a big spectacular out of it.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what we'll do. Yeah. So we can talk about all the fun behind the scenes stories and things like that. Everybody, it's been my pleasure to have you here tonight. Make sure to turn in tomorrow with Leonard Simsek with his book called Kookaburra's Last Laugh. This show is live at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I can't wait to be back with this week, full week with you. And we'll see you live tomorrow morning. Peter, thanks again. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.